You're kidding. Just one shot?
They're not all zombies, Doug. How do you fight this thing?
Maybe we could drown it in A1 sauce.
Well, sometimes that is better. The person you put up there ain't the person that comes back.
It's dead zone to get down with. About 6 feet under. Get dead.
Ooh, I love this song.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Hello and welcome to episode 192 of the Rotten Reviews podcast. Thank you again, everyone, for showing up to this episode this week. It should be a fun one, hopefully. Like I said in the last episode, I haven't watched this movie at all, so I don't know what I'm really getting into. It's going to be a quick one. It's only an hour and 20 minutes. At least the copy that I'm watching from Tubi. So we'll see how it goes. Before we get into the movie at hand, though, I just want to say thank you for everyone who's been stopping by, checking out the YouTube channel, the Instagram page, Facebook page, all the other fun stuff. I know there hasn't been a whole lot of content over there lately. Can just fully say now, a couple weeks later from being sick, I'm just finally starting to feel better enough to actually get working on other stuff. I really honestly have not had the energy at all to work on anything. I've just been so damn drained and it really sucks, but we're finally getting some, you know, we got our taste buds back and everything. We're getting some coffee back in our system. I actually still have some energy drinks that I bought over stateside, so we're gonna try those out at some point in time. I've gave up energy drinks for a while there, over like a year actually, I think, to be honest with you guys. But seeing that I was over in the States, there's a couple brands over there that we don't get here in the Great White North. So I figured, why not, you know, it's a treat myself, you know, grab two or three, just, you know, for the hell of it, to try it out. Because who doesn't want to try an energy drink that's infused with Swedish fish or warheads? Because that just sounds weird. And sure, why not? Let's just try it. So, but yeah, we got those. Gonna stick with the Dubby energy as well. That stuff, I've been drinking that religiously every single day, as well as some G Fuel. So, but if you are, you know, on the Dubby energy site, make sure you use the promo code Rotten Reviews at checkout to save yourself 10%. Saves me a little bit, saves you a little bit. Oh, it works out in that. You know, like that segue there. I feel like I'm not used to doing the podcast still. I know the last two episodes I did them when I was still very, very sick. So I'm just trying to get back in the routine of things. So we'll see how it goes. You know, you figure at this point in time I'd have this down pat, but I don't. But yeah, if you guys are new here, make sure to check out the social media links down below at Typhon Sign. You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, X, the Facebook page. The main thing we have is the YouTube channel as well that we're pushing out. I've been trying to push out more shorts there as well. Haven't been doing too much live streaming lately. Just have not had the energy or the mindset to do so. But that's all going to change with this following week. And hopefully you guys will check out the live streams over there as well. And yeah, once we hit 1,000 subs on the YouTube channel, we're going to be giving away some free artwork. So definitely go check that out and check out the weekly gaming video dropping every single Wednesday as well. But enough about all that kind of stuff. If you guys are new here, I just want to let you guys know, for this podcast, I talk about the movie from start to finish and hit all the points in between. So if you don't want to be spoiled on a movie that came out in 1980, you know, I don't know what to tell you. Feel free to pause now, go watch it on Tubi, or just, you know, sit back, relax, get some popcorn, get some Doritos, get whatever. Or if you're at work listening to this, you know, just keep working. Just relax and, you know, listen to me talk about the movie, and either I'll do a really good job describing this movie and telling you what happens to make you to the point where you want to go see it yourself, or I'll watch it for the sake of, you know, you not having to, because it might suck. So, you know, take it however way you want to take it, I guess. But yeah, I feel like the intros have been a little bit longer lately since I've been sick, because I've just been talking about more things that have been going on in my life. I don't really got much to say right now at this point in time, other than I'm just on the road of recovery and trying to be 100% and get back to my normal useful self, I guess. So we're just going to get right into the movie at hand today. So today's movie is Humanoids from the Deep from 1980. It's an hour and 20 minute runtime. It's a horror sci-fi movie. A description as read on Tubi. Fisherman and scientists fight back when mossy sea monsters assault women. That's it. That's all, folks. This movie has a 5.7 out of 10 on IMDb, 41% on Rotten Tomatoes, and a 3 out of 5 on Letterboxd. Initial release date was May 16th, 1980, and apparently had a box office of $2.1 million. This movie has apparently two directors. The first one we're going to be talking about is Barbara Peters, who's apparently best known for doing Bury Me an Angel from 1971, where she was the director. The director for 1975 Summer School Teachers, the director for 1970s The Dark Side of Tomorrow, and they also directed one episode in 1984 of Remington Steele. I've heard of that show, but I've never actually watched a single episode of it before. Also, cool little fun fact, I guess Barbara was one of the few female filmmakers who specialized in making trashy, low-budget, drive-in, exploitation fare movies from the 70s and 80s, so that's pretty cool. The next director credit to this is Jimmy T. Murakami. I probably butchered that last name, but I'm used to that. They were the director for 1981's Heavy Metal. They also directed a short called Breathe from 1967. They were the director for 1986 When the Wind Blows, as well as the director for 1980 Battle Beyond the Stars. And they also directed the music video Kate Bush, King of the Mountain, in 2005, apparently. This movie also features three different writers, which is really weird for being kind of a shorter on the end of the movies. But the first writer we're going to be talking about is Frank Arnold, who apparently is credited as a writer for the movie, but he's also apparently credited as the old man for the movie as well. He was also the writer for 1947's The Macomber Affair. He was also the narrator for the TV movie Spurred Fears, and yeah, other than that, not really nothing else. Another writer credit for this movie is Martin B. Cohen, was also the producer for 1970's The Rebel Rousers, the producer for this as well, Human Aids from the Dev. He was also the producer for 1964's Paul de Accour, as well as the producer for 1969 Blood of Dracula's Castle, and he was also the producer of Nightmare in Wax from 1969. And the last writer we're going to be talking about is William Martin, best known for working on the soundtrack for 2017 Snatch. He was one of the writers for, of course, this Human Aids from the Deaf, also known as Monsters from 1980, and he was the writer for one episode of the 1992 movie or TV show American Experience. Other than that, hasn't done really much of anything. To be honest with you, all three writers featured on this movie didn't really do too much other than this movie and a handful of other things, and nothing really was amazing from what I saw looking through the credits quickly of what they did. So maybe that's a sign for how the movie is going to work out for us today. Who knows? Now for this one, we're only going to shout out two of the actors that are featured in this, and we're going to aim for the two at the top of the casting list. We have Doug McClure playing Jim Hill, who was apparently also in 1967's The King's Pirate. He was in 1984's Maverick as a riverboat poker player, and he's also known for being in 249 episodes of a TV show called The Virginian, which I've never even heard of before, but it's a Western. The other person we're going to talk about is the actress known as Anne Turkell, who plays Dr. Suzanne Drake in this. Best known for obviously being in this movie. She was apparently a technician in 2006 Deja Vu. She was in a 1982 TV movie called Modesty Blaze, and she was also in 1976 The Cassandra Crossing. Other than that, not really known for being in too much. You know, the odd TV episode here and there, a couple of like an episode of Mercy Road, episode of Worlds Beyond, and really nothing else to really mention at all. The tagline for this movie: between life and death there is humanoids from the deep. Clever, I guess. Not really. And with that being said, we're going to get started on the movie right at hand. So like I said earlier, if you guys don't want to be spoiled on a movie that came out in 1980, feel free to pause it now. If not, sit back and relax. Listen to me talk about this movie, and let's see how it turns out, I guess.
Presents Saturday Night at the Movies, the television series which each week brings you the finest in recent motion pictures. Tonight,
they're coming. Humanoids from the deep. A tidal wave of rampaging creatures surges from the dark and violent sea to conquer the Earth.
Maybe intelligent enough to perceive man as a competitor.
Why the girls?
It's my theory that these creatures are driven to mate with man now in order to further develop their incredible evolution.
It's enough to scare the hell out of me.
Soon the world will awake to a terrifying riptide of humanoids from the deep.
We think we know where these things come from, but we have no idea how many there are.
The Earth plunges into a battle for the survival of the fittest, where man is the endangered species, and woman the ultimate prize. Anywhere you run, any place you hide, anytime you stop, they will find you. Doug McClure, Ann Terkel, Vic Morrow. Humanoids from the deep.
Movie starts out with a flashing New World Picture Presents scene, or intro credit, I guess you could say. And then we just cut right into the water where we see some, you know, plants just, you know, kind of just being static, just kind of just floating there. And the music kind of starting to come up a little bit as we get closer and closer to the top of the water. And then we just see some waves crashing on the shoreline. And we see the telephone come up, monster. And then underneath it in brackets, it says humanoids from the depth or deep. Did I say depth? I meant deep. We just see this, you know, Ford Bronco driving through town. We see a dog walking across the street. And we see all these hard, bold red fonts for the intro credits coming in. And then we see a bunch of boats down by the shoreline at the docks. You see like one of the boats getting repaired on. And it just says Nip and Tuck is the title of it. But like, we see all these people working at the docks and whatnot too. But we don't hear any of the commotion happening at the docks. Because all we hear is the intro music playing. Where I feel like we could hear like commotion in the background. Which would probably help set the feeling and the mood for the movie a little bit. But hey, what do I know? I don't even know if it's a Ford Bronco. I can't even tell. It's a nice looking truck. It might be a Jeep of some sort though. But we see it showing up at the like the dock line. And then we see two guys getting out. And I'm assuming one is Jim Hill, Doug McClure's character. And then one of the guys' name is Tommy. And he's bugging one of the other guys on the boat. Being like, how's that beard coming? He's like, ah, it's really itchy. And he's like, you can't even see any facial hair on the guy who's saying he's got an itchy beard. But it's fine. And we see Johnny showing up on the dock with his husky on his boat. Being like, yeah, there ain't no fish out there. I ain't gonna be fishing out there today. Then we see a couple boats leaving the docks because like, ah, there's a lot of fish out there. We gotta go catch, boys, because we gotta keep improving on this town and get more money in here. I don't know how they did, but they got a shot of a seagull that's eating some fish on top of the boat, and I'm pretty sure the seagull only has one leg. Not sure how they found him or where they found him or how they got the shot, but I mean, that's something to talk about, right? My hopes aren't too high for this movie, if you guys haven't guessed. Anyways, we see one of the fishing boats out there, and they have a giant net out, and he's like, oh, we got a catch, we got something coming up, and then we see underneath in the water at the net, and we just see this, like, merman-looking claw coming up against the net and start pulling on it, and he's like, ah, goddammit, now what, the boat's stalling out, the crane's stalling out, the winch is stalling out, what's going on here? And it's like a father and two sons out fishing or running this company, and the youngest son, he looks like he's, you know, maybe 12, and apparently he wasn't keeping an eye on the gas level in the winch, so the dad's all pissed off. He's like, you've been out here all day, Smitty, and you can't get the damn gas, making sure it's level and everything. And then Smitty comes down from the engine area, the cockpit, whatever. He's like, there's no oil pressure, guess it's probably broken, should have got that fixed a while ago, huh? And the youngest son is like setting the gas canister on the where the winch is holding to fill it up, and then the dad's like, no, come over here and just help us. So the son leaves the gas canister on top, and of course it falls off, and now we got gas just leaking all over the boat as they're trying to pull the net up by their hands, and we know it's not going to work out well for them because of course the monster's pulling on the net a little bit more, and then somehow the youngest son gets like chucked right into the water. He's like, ah, give me the hook, I will pull him up. And then next thing you know, we see the monster's hand ripping through the net, and we see the youngest son just disappearing underneath the water, and then it starts to get a little bloody in the water. And then dad starts freaking out. He's like, I gotta save my boy, I gotta get in that water, I gotta save my boy, I see all the blood. And then we see Smitty coming from the engine hall area with a flare gun of all things, and he trips and falls and shoots it, but of course there's gas all over the bottom of the boat, and the whole fucking thing goes up in a ball of fire. And then we see Jim and the other guy, might be the son, I'm not too sure, They got binoculars out. It's like, oh, better call the Coast Guard. There's explosions happening over there. Look at that boat. It's all on fire, and there's fire all over the ocean. And then we see Jim back at home playing with his kid with a little kid's fishing rod as he's talking to Hank, who's apparently like the local sheriff. He's like, you know, boats don't just blow up like that, eh, Jim? He's like, ah, that boat was leaking oil like a sieve, you know. Of course it just went up in flames, like, no big deal. I don't know where the little kid starts crying, and then the dog, old Yeller, just starts, you know, growling and whining. So then Jim's like, ah, sick him. He opens up the door and lets the dog go aside. No big deal, not even checking to see what's out there. Dog walks over to the garbage cans because apparently there might be a big giant trash panda or, you know, a merman or something going through the garbage. And it's really foggy out, so hopefully the damn dog doesn't die. But I'm not really too sure at this point in time. Well, the dog starts walking through the woods a little bit and starts barking, and a monster comes out of the fog. And at this point in time, this movie sucks because the dog is not coming back at all because, well, you can just assume what happens. And, yeah, that's an 80s movie for you, I guess. Then it's the next day, and the mom comes out, and she's like, come on, Baron. Apparently, the dog's name is Baron, of all things. And she's going over to the doghouse, which apparently has, like, a cloth around the front of it for a door. And she's like, what's wrong, Baron? She opens up the cloth door, and a cat comes running out, and she scares the crap out of her. The next thing we know, we see her and Jim looking at the garbage cans, and there's, like, slime all over the garbage cans. They're like, what do you think it is? And they're like, I don't know what it is, but it, pathway goes up that way. We should probably go follow that pathway. Halfway, huh? You see Jim and his wife making their way through the woods to the point where they come to the shoreline, still whistling for the dog, but there's no sign of the dog to be found anywhere at all. Now, nowhere on the shoreline, Jim looks over and sees something, so they go running towards it, and they think it's just like some seaweed and stuff, but next thing you know, it's, you know, Baron, dead. And then we see these guys delivering some beer to maybe a restaurant or something. I'm not sure what's going on at this point in time, but they're at the dock somewhere. But all these other dogs are dead except for the one dog that was on Tommy's boat or something. The guy that said he wasn't fishing because there was no fish out there. And it's Husky that's the only one that's left alive. But yeah, this movie's gonna score a lot of negative points for the amount of dead dog bodies I've seen so far. And of course, it wouldn't be an 80s movie if we don't see like the monster creeping around outside in the darkness as a lady's literally in her lingerie, you know, doing her hair. And she's doing her hair up against a, like, I don't know if her bathroom's up against a back patio door, but she's just in her lingerie, just, you know, sitting beside the door. And she opens up the door being like, what was that sound? I thought I heard something outside. I hope it doesn't come in to frisk me. And of course, this lady's walking around her house all getting spooked by everything that's in her house. And then her phone rings. She's like, oh, Linda, hi. No, sorry, I was just, you know, doing my hair, and it just caught me off guard with the phone ringing and stuff. And so the lady goes to her front door with, like, a barbecue fork. As we see, like, there's a glass above her top of her door, like the little half circle. And then her doorknob starts to shake. And then out of nowhere, a guy comes out behind her and scares the shit out of her. And almost gets stabbed with said barbecue fork. He's like, hey, what's the matter? I just figured I'd come over and see how you're doing. And then we cut to the 75th, apparently, salmon fish festival thing that's going on here. And we see Jim and Carol showing up to it, and they're, you know, Ford Bronco, Jeep, whatever. And this little guy's like, when we gonna get some duck hunting in on you, little boy? He's like, I just lost my dog. I can't do any duck hunting at all. Can't do it. And, you know, we got this whole small town vibe set up going, because apparently everyone that lives in this town goes to this festival, because we see a bunch of people showing up to see the whole band playing and everything. I guess for the first time ever, there's this corporation that's there. And one of the people is Dr. Suzanne Drake that's there. And I don't know why they're there, but they're there. And apparently this company is a new cannery company that's going to be opening in town. It's apparently going to be the best thing that ever happened to the town. It's going to create a bunch more jobs for everyone, more money to come in, etc., etc. Apparently the main guy behind this company is like, Dr. Susan Drake, she knows how to make the salmon grow bigger, faster, and quicker. That way there's going to be more fish, more work, and more money for the town. So you're going to have mutated fish, apparently. And of course, there's a couple that are not inside the whole dance party going on. They're actually in the back cab of the truck in the bed, you know, getting it on, making out. But of course, the girl's like, what was that? I heard something. I know there's something outside the truck. What was it? And we see Hank, who's talking to the mayor. He's like, hey, every damn watchdog was slaughtering the damn dog, other than Johnny Eagles. I wonder why Johnny Eagles' dog was the only one not slaughtered. Maybe because he was an evil-looking black husky like the one from Snow Dogs. named Demon. And then at that instant, Johnny Eagle walks in carrying his dead freaking dog. Do we need to see another dog being murdered in this goddamn movie? No, I don't think so. And Eagles is not very happy about his dog being killed, and he thinks it's actually someone in the town that killed it. So he's planning to take them to court and to shut down the cannery because he feels like this is going to cause a lot of trauma and damage to the town. Because now all the dogs in the town are apparently dead. So then the mayor's like, ah, get this guy here. And some guy comes up and puts him in like a chokehold and drags him outside. Apparently Eagles is supposed to be an Indian, and Slattery has a bunch of henchmen. He's like, you know, get him out of here. You know, he's just a drunk Indian again. And then we see Eagles trying to fight off everyone because apparently the henchmen come out, and Hank is trying to prove that he's a big tough guy. It's stupid. And then all these guys are taking shots at Johnny Eagles. So then Jim's like, you know what? Can't let the little guy get his butt kicked, so I gotta step in here. And I don't know where the sheriff just starts firing off some shots. He's like, all right, boys, that's gonna be enough. Everybody go home, you know, tie yourself up. We've had enough fun for tonight. Then it's like the next day, we see Hank Slattery out on his boat, just, you know, going through the little river area, and he comes up to another spot where there's a bunch of other boats just tied off on the side. And then he starts climbing up the shoreline, but he stops and hides because he sees another truck driving down this road. And apparently he's trying to sneak in on this area where a bunch of guys are all hanging out together. And he's overhearing that these people are inside the shack, and they're talking about how this lawyer is going to come up, fight their case, and they're going to, you know, shut down the cannery and say how their fishing rights have been taken away from them, this and that. And then we cut to some girls on a beach, one strong a boat coming in, and the other one's, you know, getting felt up by some dude. And then we see Jim and his brother out on the boat, you know, doing some fishing. There's a girl with them taking some pictures and whatnot. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's his wife, Carol. I can't really tell, to be honest with you. And then the couple that were making out on the beach, they start walking away, even though the girl that was sketching is kind of was watching them, and she looks kind of sad now that they're walking away. But the couple that's making out, they're walking, and they don't even see this giant ass monster print that's on the beach, but they just keep walking. It's fine. They didn't notice it at all. It's kind of like the size of Bigfoot's foot, but whatever. We see that couple moving through the shoreline a little bit more and more. And we also see them almost slipping on the rocks because they're almost wet. And it looks like they're getting closer and closer to a cave where the monster's probably hiding, most likely. And we see back on Jim's boat where his brother Tommy and a couple other guys are out fishing. They catch something, but the guy can't reel it in because it's really big. He's like, it feels like it's a whale or something. I don't know what it is. It's really hard to reel it in, though. And of course, when they're reeling line, and the line breaks, and of course, whatever it was just goes back to the bottom of the ocean. But the lady was like taking a bunch of pictures, and Jim's like, hey, did you see what was on there? He's like, I won't know until the film's developed, to be honest with you. It's not Polaroid. And we see the horny couple, you know, playing in the water, jumping around, splashing each other. And then I think his name is Jerry, maybe, gets like sucked down in the water, but then he pops back up because we thought the monster had him, but he was just playing around again. And then they start making out in the water, but we can tell that the monster is somewhere in the water swimming around. And then next thing we know, it's like right behind her, or at least that's what the point of view looks like. And then out of nowhere, Jerry just gets like dragged in the water deeper, and next thing you know, he's like, where did he go? And we see him fighting in the water as blood's coming up all over the place. And then we see Jerry staying in the water, but his back is facing her. So she goes over to check on him, and half of his face is all gone, but she didn't hear him struggling. I don't know. It's in the water anyways. And then she's running to shore, but then she gets dragged down on her back, and then we see Jerry, like, hand coming up out of the water as his face is all messed up as well. It's some weird shots. But then we also see her being dragged, and she's grabbing sand and dirt, but even though she was still in the water at the same point in time when this was happening. The next thing we know, we see her on the beach with her back on the sand, and the monster climbing on top of her, and it literally rips her bikini top right off. Then we see Hank in the bar talking to his henchman. He's like, the buck stops here, you know, Johnny Eagles means business, and he's going to get a lawyer and stuff. And he's talking about filing a lawsuit against us, so we need to make this stop now, guys. We see Jim and everyone get back to the shoreline, and then that's when Johnny pops by. He's like, you know, thanks for, you know, helping me out there. I would like to talk to you about the carry. And then Jim's like, hey, I get it. You don't like the carry. I want the carry. We're just, you know, two different point of views. That's all. So, and then Tommy, the brother of Jim, he's like, yeah, it's kind of funny. You know, he just wants the carry because he feels like it's going to be good for the town, but he doesn't even care for those kind of people. But, you know, it is what it is, right? And then out of nowhere, we see on the beach side, there's a tent set up, and there's a girl getting naked inside the tent, and there's also a guy playing with a dummy. He's like, hey, look, she's getting naked. Take me out of the tent, buddy. hit me out of the sleeping bag. It's just weird. I don't know what the hell's going on here at this point in time. I really don't. And then the dummy's like, hey, baby, I guess you've never made it with two dummies, huh? Two heads is better than one, right, baby? Then when the guy's getting ready to get on top of the lady, the tank gets ripped in half. And we just see the monster's arm come through. And we see his back get all slashed up. And then it cuts to the dummy. And the dummy's eyes are actually moving. And next thing you know, we see the lady running out of the tent naked. But she runs into the arms of what I assume is another monster from the sea. Or maybe the monster's just super really fast. Anyways, it pins her down on the ground. And then next thing you know, she's dead. We see Johnny and Tommy out. And Johnny's showing them a different part of the river. He's like, this is where my people. This is like the old woods. You know, show you the older trees and whatnot. And then they hear another boat coming. And it's Hank and a couple of his guys. He's like, we don't usually have people come out this far. So we're going to go hide now because we don't know what's happening. I believe they're back at Johnny's little hut. And they're getting ready to have, a meal, make some cornbread and whatnot. And Johnny's a little bit, paranoid because he's like, I know there's somebody out here, following us essentially. And of course, outside of Johnny's place, we see the swamp creature thing, humanoid from the deep, poking his head up, just, kind of watching. And then we see Hank and his two buddies drifting in a little bit closer to what I'm assuming is they're heading towards Johnny's place. And they're getting Molotov cocktails ready. And then as, Johnny's at the barbecue, cooking up the fish, he's like, hey, Tom, you get down. I see Hank down there on a boat, and out of nowhere, we see the Molotov go flying, and the whole cabin that Johnny lives in goes up in flames like it's a action movie prop. And then Johnny's yelling at Linda, Tommy's girlfriend, being like, hey, go take my truck, go in town and get help, as we try to start the pump so we can try and, put the fire out. And while Tommy's down at the generator where the pump runs, he hears something in the water, so then he starts blindly shooting at the water. And then we see like the humanoid from the depth arm coming up, and he grabs Tommy's leg and pulls him into the water with him. And Tommy's struggling to get out of the water, but the monster keeps grabbing him and pulling him down in. But he's able to grab the gun, and he starts like using it as a baseball bat, essentially attacking the monster in the water. And then as Tommy's like fighting his way out to get onto the dock, the monster just comes up behind him, starts smashing him in the back of the head into the dock. And then we see Johnny finally seeing what's going on, so he goes to help Tommy. And I think one of the monsters gets like his head caved in, and then another one comes out of the water. So then Johnny starts shooting at it. And then we cut to Linda driving Johnny's truck, and then out of nowhere the windshield starts getting smashed in, and apparently there's one of the monsters on the roof of the truck breaking the window out. And she puts on the brakes, and the monster falls off the hood and rolls down the road a couple times, and she kind of just sits there thinking like, what the hell just happened? And we see the monster move a little bit, so then she's like, I'm just gonna hit the gas and run it over and listen to it crunch. But somehow it's in the back of the cab now, in the bed of the truck, and we just see a shadow moving up against the back of the window. And then the glass breaks out, and it starts like ripping her head to the side. And the next thing we know, we see the truck drive off a bridge, and once it hits the ground, it blows up like another action movie set. Then we see Susan showing up the next morning, being like, hey, we'd like to rent a boat. And the guy's like, I wouldn't advise it, not this morning at all. And he points over at the crowd, and she walks over to the crowd, and it's just a bunch of people being like, I wonder why Susan was in Eagle's truck and why it blew up. And then we see Eagles coming up on the shoreline on his boat, and everyone starts freaking out. And then they go over to him. That's when they see Tommy's dead inside the boat as well. They're putting Tommy in the back of the truck, so maybe he's not dead yet because they're putting a blanket over top of him. And somehow Jim and Carol, I believe it's the wife, the mom's name, are just showing up being like, oh my God, Tommy, what happened to you? It's like, how do you already know that he's injured? Because there's no cell phones at all. How would you even know what's going on? And then Jim goes over to talk to the sheriff. They're like, hey, what happened to my brother Tommy? He's like, apparently it was a sea monster. I don't know really what happened. He's like, all right, I'm going out on the water. Who's kind of with me to help me? And of course, the only people that wants to go with him is Eagles. He's like, hey, I don't know if I want you leaving yet. I haven't been able to talk to you about what happened yet. He's like, Jim's like, hey, well, do you want to go with me then? We can discuss this out on the water then. If not, leave him in my care and I'll keep an eye on to make sure nothing happens. And the only other person that agrees to go out on the water is Susan, because she's the doctor and she wants to take some pictures and figure out what the hell's going on here with the sea creature and, see what's up with the whole business of the cannery coming in. If, there's sea monsters in the water. Eagles takes him to the first spot where he saw them. He's like, this is where we first saw them. And then Susan jumps right in the water and starts taking pictures. And Jim's like, she knows a lot more than she's saying. I wonder what she knows that she's not telling us. And then Susan just goes on. He's like, the pattern you're saying is you're like nocturnal, so they're probably sleeping unless you feel like they're, being targeted during the day. So they're probably most likely napping at this point in time, getting ready to attack tonight. And then they're out in the boat, and then Susan's drawing up a picture of what she thinks the swamp creature looks like, and Eagle's like, ah, much bigger. Head's much bigger. She's like, ah, they must have developed much more than I thought they did. So clearly she does know more than she's saying. And apparently they catch a salmon, and Jim's like, ah, I never thought I'd be so upset about catching a salmon. And Susan's like, yeah, I just think we're catching salmon this big. We can't be that far from what we're looking for then. Like, what? How's that make sense at all, Susan? Then as they're putting around on the boat, Susan looks over and he's like, ah, look at the coastline over there. There's a bunch of caves over there. Where do those caves lead to? And he's like, ah, let's go find out. So they get in the little dinghy of all fucking things to go explore some caves where the swamp creatures or whatever might be lurking. Then as they're walking through the shoreline, they come to like the sleeping area of the humanoids apparently. And Susan's like, hey, look, there's your proof. And then the humanoids start coming after them. And Susan's like, no, don't shoot at them. Don't shoot at them. But Jim's like, screw you, lady. I'm going to start shooting at them because there's multiple ones all over the place. And Susan's more just curious about taking pictures and keeping them alive, even though they're coming out of the fog everywhere. One of them has like eagles and he's like fighting them out in the water and it looks like eagles is going to die. But Jim just has a knife enough like of a sniper shot to hit the humanoid to like kill it in the water. And Jim's like, you're right. He's like, yeah, I'm fine. It's just, I'm almost dead. And then, Susan's taking pictures of a leg under all the seaweed and crap. And they're like, oh, who is it? It's like, oh my God, it's Peggy. And she's naked, but she's still alive. So I'm like, are they breeding her? Is that what the whole plan was? Or were they just keeping her for dinner? And then we cut to this like medical room where there's a bunch of jars with a bunch of different sea creatures inside them. Kind of like a Frankenstein's lab. And then we just see one of the humanoids get dumped on a table. And there's a bunch of slime coming out of his mouth. And then Susan's like, ah, as far as I know, this is the first time this creature's ever been found. But I don't know why it's evolving so quickly that this humanoid's, you know, just expanding so quickly. And then one of the doctors is like, hey, how about you and the other guy there go back to the town? And we'll figure this whole alien thing out with the creatures. And we'll get under wraps. And Jim's like, no, I ain't going anywhere until we figure out what the hell's going on here. Susan starts freaking out. And the other doctor being like, you know, my theory's been right the whole time. And I'm not going to deny it. I'm going to let everyone know this town. Everything that's happening. Because I've been trying to tell you guys about the mutations happening in the water with our company. But nobody wants to listen to me. And then apparently we're finding out, according to Susan, apparently these humanoids are mutated versions of tadpoles and frogs. Okay, I guess. Apparently, the tests they're doing on tadpoles made them grow up so fast, and that they were doing the same test results on salmon. And apparently, a tank got broken open of the salmon, and apparently, they're all out in the water mutating stuff. And she wanted to tell the community, but apparently, the company didn't want to say anything about it. And the next thing you know, we cut to this big giant festival that's going on in the town. And they're like, oh no, the creatures are going to come out and start, you know, attacking everyone so they can start reproducing and mating. And we see the mayor talking to the band. He's like, hey, can you speed up the tunes a little bit? You know, everyone's kind of like slow dancing, looking kind of mopey. He's like, well, we don't really feel about, like, you know, playing fast. You know, all the killings and everything happening. He's like, I get that, but we got people coming from 2,000 miles away. Can we speed this little music number up so everyone looks like they're having fun? Regardless, we see this festival happen. We see the Ferris wheel lights. It's nighttime at this point in time. You know, the Ferris wheel lights are up and everything. And then, of course, from the dock, we see a little humanoid head pop up being like, oh, look, there's something going on over there. I should go check it out. We see Jim and Johnny and Susan getting back on their boat, and the mayor comes over with a bunch of other guys being like, so you can find any of your sea creatures? And they throw a body bag onto the dock, and they unzip it. It's like, yeah, see this guy, look at him, he's right here, he's a sea creature. Then as everyone's like attention's drawn looking at the one in the body bag, another sea creature humanoid pops up and breaks through the dock. So Johnny starts shooting at, and then a second one starts breaking through the dock, and everyone starts running away screaming for their life. Now we see the sea creatures coming up onto land, walking around. Everyone's freaking out. There's a girl on rollerblades getting tossed to the ground because they're all walking around all over the place, and they got like this tar kind of effect because this lady, once she gets thrown off her rollerblades, she's completely covered in this green looking tar stuff. I honestly have no idea how many humanoids there are, because one of them breaks like this bridge and a bunch of people fall in the water. We see people getting attacked by them, but then we see other ones climbing up the broken bridge to try and grab the other people that are holding on for dear life. And then we see kegs falling into the water, and then we see other humanoids all over the place. So I have no idea how many there is. We see a lady cut scene in a shower as she's pushing her chest up against the shower curtain as a humanoid's outside her house stalking her. And then we cut and see a bunch of other humanoids, you know, killing people at the festival, where one guy actually gets his head like twisted right off and it's holding his severed head. Cool shot, gonna admit it, not gonna lie. there's a lot of chaos happening right now, and it's not making a lot of sense because this whole time, like, we see the humanoids chasing people on the festival, fair, whatever you want to call it, and then we see Jim in his boat with Susan, and Susan's pumping gas all over the place. I guess they're going to set it all on fire or lure the humanoids back in the water. I'm not sure which one's going to happen, to be honest with you, because we just keep seeing humanoids just attacking random people out of nowhere. Then we come to find out the girl that was in the shower with the random scene that I didn't know was making any goddamn sense is actually Jim's wife, because now she's fully dressed and we see the little kid playing in the playpen as the monster's outside the window now. We see this little kid, you know, on the edge of the dock getting, you know, attacked by a humanoid, and then out of nowhere, Johnny comes to save the day and shoots the humanoid and kills it. Then we randomly cut to Jim giving Susan a flare gun and be like, shoot the water! Shoot the water! So she shoots it, and of course the whole water goes up in flames, slowly, of course. And Johnny being the nice guy that he is, even though, you know, Slattery's been a jackass to him the whole movie, because Slattery's getting attacked by one of the humanoids, like, on his ankle. Johnny goes to save the day and kills the humanoid, and then starts pulling him up to safety. And then we have, like, this aerial shot of the dock water going up in flames, and the water's starting to boil, but we also see, like, a humanoid walking across the fairground area and still attacking people. So I'm not sure how that's supposed to help the situation at all. And then we see, like, a bunch of the monsters dying in the water. I guess they're burned up alive. And then Jim gets up on shore and he's like, hey, where's my wife? And one of the guys is like, I took her home after the hospital. She's at home. And Johnny's like, go to her, Jim. Hurry, get in your boat and go through the fire on the water. It will be fine. And we just see groups of guys just picking off the last of the humanoids that are on the land, and they're, like, circling them. And like a group of 15 of them just, like, beat the crap out of them. Then we see Carol hiding the sun in, like, a closet area, and one of the humanoids breaks a window. So then she goes to the front door, and it breaks through the front door, so she starts stabbing in the arm. Then another one breaks through the other front window and starts climbing through and starts coming at her. She's like, oh no, what am I gonna do with my kitchen knife? Then she sprays one of them in the face with something. I thought it was just, like, water, but maybe it was cleaner supplies. And then she just starts taking that kitchen knife and caving in its chest till we see it fall to the ground dead. And then we hear another commotion at what I assume is another door at the house. And she runs to the door and gets ready to stab whatever's going to come through the door. But it's Jim, and he grabs her hand. He's like, oh, Carol, it's just me. Don't worry, honey. It's now, like, morning time, and Jim is going back to the fairground area to check on things. And we see Carol carrying their kid as well. And there's just a bunch of people laying on the ground on blankets, you know, being bandaged up. Other people walking around with guns, just, you know, checking on everything. Fire's going all over the place. And it just looks like a war scene. And then Jim's looking around for Dr. Susan Drake. And Hank's just like, she went back to her lab. Gone back to the lab. Yep, that's where she went. And then we cut to a medical room where it's Peggy, and I'm assuming it's Dr. Drake in the gown, being like, Peggy, you're doing great. Come on, just keep pushing, because she's going to give birth to one of the humanoids now. And the movie cuts with the humanoid baby, like, ripping out of Peggy's stomach and just screaming, and that's the end of the movie. Yeah, I'm going to be completely 100% honest with this one. I didn't care for this movie at all. It's not horrible by any means. On the Rotten scale of 10, I'm going to give it a 4.5 out of 10. I do enjoy that you do see the humanoids, like, a full body suit. They all look kind of different, so I'm not sure how many suits they actually made. Some of the head details is pretty cool. I do enjoy that part. When the one guy's face gets slashed up, they had pretty good prosthetics and looked pretty cool. Other than that, it's just, you know, your typical monster coming out of the water. Bunch of boobs all over the place, and just a bunch of nonsense. It's not something I'm going to revisit at all, but I'm glad I watched it at least once, so it's off the bucket list now. So that brings us to what we're going to be watching next week. So for next week, we're going to be watching a movie I've only seen a couple times, but I enjoyed it a lot. It's from 1986. It's an hour and 47 minutes. It's called Running Scared. Hopefully you guys will enjoy that movie. It's also on Tubi. It's in the Leaving Soon section, though. So by the time you listen to this podcast episode, it might already be gone, or it might still be there. Who knows at this point in time? Because Tubi's weird like that. Sometimes it'll be in the Leaving Soon section, and the damn movie never actually leaves, or it takes months for it to actually go off the site. So I'm not sure. But anyways, make sure to check out the outro band, Toronto-based horror band, Blood Opera. They have a new album out. You can go check it out on Spotify. But yeah, all their links are down below. Check out the Spotify account, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, SoundCloud, anywhere and everywhere pretty much. Check out the Etsy shop as well. Check out all my social media links down below as well, at Typhon Sign pretty much.
Anything and everything. We've got the Facebook page, we have the Instagram page, we have the X page, we have the TikTok page. And the main thing that we're pushing the most times is the YouTube channel. I'm getting really tired, to be honest with you guys. But yeah, go check out the YouTube channel where we do live streams. That's going to be kicking back up again. It's very short videos over there. Old episodes of the podcast as well as the weekly game video going out every single Wednesday. So definitely go check that out. Until next time, I'll talk to you guys all later. Peace.